This evening we turn our thoughts to Revelation chapter 18. Revelation chapter 18, reading from the beginning, verses 1 to 8. And after these things I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power. And the earth was lightened with his glory, and he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. The merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works. In the cup which she hath filled, fill to her double. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her, for she saith in her heart, I sit a queen, and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God, who judgeth her. We've tried to look through this book from time to time, and we have considered how the book divides itself up, the seven seals, which relate to the providential circumstances of God in the earth, the seven trumpets of judgment, which speak to us of the judgments of God upon the earth, the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, which reveal to us the way God is going to bring the world to an end. And now as you and I come up to the climax of the book of Revelation, what we are going to read from now on is the end of everything. God is bringing everything, you see, to an end. Babylon comes to an end. Babylon the harlot, Babylon the whore, she comes to an end. And then the beast with the seven heads is destroyed. And the beast with the twin horns like the lamb is destroyed. The one beast meaning government, anti-God government. The other beast like the lamb meaning anti-God religion, they come to an end. And then God deals finally with Satan himself and brings him to an end. And then at the end of everything, God introduces a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Oh, it's a wonderful story, the story of the Bible, unfolded for us, and we see it happening before our very eyes. Now, as you and I read chapter 18 of this book of Revelation, it was regarded by many of the Reformed theologians that this chapter had reference in particular to the Roman Catholic Church. Some of the reformers looked at this chapter and they saw here the Church of Rome. They saw St. Peter's. They saw the Vatican City. This beautifully adorned queen city, full of riches, adorned in imposing robes of fine linen and purple and scarlet. The very colors are the colors of the Vatican. Overlaid with gold, precious stones, and pearls. And this church, you see, commanded the respect and allegiance of many of the dignitaries of the world and of many of the peoples of the world. Now, there are still many people who take that interpretation of chapter 18 of Revelation. And certainly, as you and I look at the Church of Rome, there is much to be desired. It's a church, you see, that has drifted so far away from the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. It is a church that has taught people to pray for dead souls. It is a church that has taught so many people that there is such a place as purgatory, and there is a chance of getting out of purgatory and into heaven. It is a church that has taught that you can pray to the saints and invoke them for mercy and help. It is a church that has taught that you can intercede with Mary, the woman who bore our Lord's humanity, and that as she is a queen, she can intercede with her son for you. It is a church that has produced the sacrifice of the Mass, and there are so many Protestant people who think that the Mass is like the communion when it is nothing of the kind. Because what the Mass is, it is a sacrifice. It is the priest taking this wafer, which is the symbol of our Lord's body, and then he changes it into the very body of our Lord, and he sacrifices it to God upon the altar along with the blood. And so from that point of view, the Church of Rome must change. But you know, I have heard our professor Finlayson, who is now a very old man, being interviewed and saying, when he was asked, where do you think revival will begin? And he surprised his interviewer and surprised his audience by saying that he wouldn't be surprised if the great coming revival wouldn't begin in that very church. And why not? After all, our reformer John Knox was studying for the priesthood. So was Martin Luther. So was John Calvin. And these were the men who, when they were touched by the Spirit of God, were changed and changed the whole face of Europe. And it has never been the same since, and it can happen again. But we have regarded in our studies in Revelation Babylon. We have regarded Babylon not as the Church of Rome. We have regarded Babylon the whore as the seductive power of Satan, which is exercised in the world of men. And that is how we see Babylon. It is the devil's seductive power over the world. It is, if you like, the devil taking the world and making the world into a harlot. And what does a harlot do? She mesmerizes and seduces and holds in control those who are her victims. And so it is with a world that is under the domination of the devil. So let us consider together the sins of Babylon. We're not told who the angel is who comes down from heaven. I'm not sure if it is Abraham Kuyper, the Dutch theologian, who regards this angel as Christ. But there is one of these famous theologians who regards the angel as Christ. But we won't say that. We will only say that this angel, whoever he was a special angel, having great authority and power. I saw another angel come down from heaven having great power. And not only that, but this angel had peculiar glory, so much so that the world was lightened with his glory. He came down from heaven and the earth was lightened with his glory, and he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen. And so in this commanding and in this penetrating voice, this angel announces that Babylon the great is fallen. And he goes on to describe in detail the characteristics of Babylon, or if you like, the characteristics of a civilization when it is divorced from God. What is it like? What is a civilization like when it is divorced from God? Well, it becomes a home of demons. And the world of tonight is a place of demons. The witches with their covens, the seances that are held in the different homes and places, the sense of evil that is abroad in so many places. This is Babylon, you see, the home of demons. And says this angel, he goes on to speak of it as a haunt of every evil or foul spirit, a haunt or cage of every unclean and detestable bird. You know, it's the frightening picture that is given to us by the prophet Isaiah, and we read his prophecy tonight. When he speaks of fallen Babylon in Isaiah chapter 13, he says this of Babylon, that it would become a place where the houses would be full of doleful creatures and owls, and where satyrs dance. Listen, doleful creatures, owls, satyrs. These are the creatures that we associate with ghosts. These are the creatures that conjure up for us every abominable thing and every evil thing. And so, as this angel speaks of Babylon the Great, this place that is seduced by the devil, he is talking about the evil that is in the world. And you know, evil has a deadly fascination for us, no matter who we are. There is a deadly fascination of evil for us. You take up the newspaper on Monday or Tuesday, be it as you may, and you are fascinated sometimes by the stories that are told. In some of these papers, they are telling us, you see, about some of these prominent figures who lived in the past. And they are now telling us about their way of life. It might be the story of one of our prime ministers and how his wife was unfaithful to him. And you see, this is fascinating. It's evil, but it's fascinating, and it grips us and we want to read it. Or it be something that some man or woman has done. It's a nefarious work of some kind or another, and it grips us. It's evil. We become intoxicated with evil. And you know, when a person is inebriated, as you know, he can stoop to the very lowest in degradation. And this is what the angel says about Babylon. Babylon, he says, Babylon the Great is fallen.
is become the habitation of devils, the hold of every foul spirit, a cage of every unclean bird and hateful bird. All nations, the whole world, all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. And the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies.
You see, this description of fallen Babylon could be the description of our nation, Babylon. It's not far-fetched for me to say, isn't that a picture of Britain today? That it's become the habitation of devils? It's become the hold of every foul spirit? It's become the cage of every unclean and hateful bird? That our whole system of commerce in riches, our whole way of life has become debased? We become intoxicated, inebriated by the seductions of the devil. Indeed, the picture of Babylon that is given to us here is the description of a world that is seduced from God. It's the picture of a world where the power of evil is rife, be it in the form of violence or in the form of lust, or in the form of power, or in the form of dishonesty, or in the form of deceit, or in any other way in which evil manifests itself. You see, evil is from hell. And evil, being from hell, is opposed to God and all that reflects God's glory. And what evil does is this: it leads men and women to utter degradation and total ruin. That is the end of evil in the end. It leads to utter degradation and total ruin. And isn't this what the devil has been doing with the generations of men? And he certainly has deceived our generation, so that our generation has become mesmerized and infatuated with sin. You see, this was the problem with regard to poor Samson. When he met Delilah, this sensuous and voluptuous woman, who wasn't terribly interested in Samson. She was only interested in what Samson could give her. And this woman, you see, Delilah, seduced Samson, just like the harlot Babylon and the way it seduces us into doing evil. And so this particular angel comes from heaven, and he says to us that this is what Babylon is like. It's the habitation of devils, the hold of every foul spirit, the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Nations drink the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth commit fornication with her. The merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And then another voice comes from heaven, And it is calling to us for separation from Babylon.
I heard another voice from heaven saying, "Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues, for her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities." Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins. You know, we today have forgotten to a great extent, and I'm saying this with regard to the Church of Christ, we have forgotten to a great extent the meaning of separation from sin and separation to God. And yet that is what holiness is. That is what sanctification is. Sanctification really means separation. Separation from sin and separation to God. And what God is commanding from us is to be holy, to be separate, and steps must be taken to see that that is effected in our lives. And let me give you an example or two. Take Abraham. Now then he was living in Ur of the Chaldees. We're not told very much about Ur of the Chaldees, but we can be sure of this, that Ur of the Chaldees was just like Babylon. It was seduced from God. And God came to Abraham and said to Abraham, "Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee." Oh, Abraham, you must separate yourself from this generation. You must separate yourself from this way of life. You must place yourself completely under my domination and instructions. And that is precisely what we've got to do. And this voice that comes from heaven says, "Come out of her. Separate from that world that is seduced by the devil. Separate yourself from that world that is like the harlot. Separate yourself from it. And be not partakers of her sins, that ye receive not of her plagues." And so Abraham had to leave his kindred, his father's house, and all that pertained to that for this country that God was going to show him. And you remember Paul, too, he emphasizes the same thing in his epistle to the Corinthians, where he says to these Corinthian Christians, "Don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness?" Oh, it's so easy for us to become unequally yoked with the unbelievers of the world. And you see, to the Ephesians, the Apostle Paul says this, "Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." And I have to stop and pause here and say to any person, and particularly to young people who may be with us this night, be very careful in the choices that you make with regard to friends. And be very careful in the marriage that you may make. If you are a young Christian, then don't become unequally yoked with an unbeliever. Because what fellowship can you have with that unbeliever? What communion can light have with darkness? How can you possibly be involved in Babylon, which is fallen? And so we've got to remind ourselves that we mustn't have
fellowship, that is constant fellowship. I know that it is impossible for you to be outside of this world. You're working in it and you've got to find your daily bread and butter in it. But we're talking about constant fellowship. So it says here, don't have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Because you see, we must bear in mind that sin is not forgotten by God. And as this voice says, with regard to Babylon, her sins have reached unto heaven. And I was examining this text and I discovered that it really means this. Her sins, they're piled one on top of another as if they were glued together. And as you look at these sins of Babylon, they are reaching high to heaven. And God, says the voice, hath remembered her iniquities. You see, what is at the end of all this of Babylon? The harlot, the seducer, the world that seduces a civilization, the world that seduces you and me. What is at the end of it all? The judgment of God. This is what the voice says from heaven, reward her, even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works in the cup which she hath filled. Filled to her double. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously. So much torment and sorrow give her, for she saith in her heart, I sit a queen, and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day. Death, mourning, famine. She will be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. You see, let's look at it in the figurative way in which John was seeing it. He is seeing the world as a fair woman, a woman who imagines herself a queen, and who is living there, the harlot, with her paramours. And there she is, says John, living in this extravagance. She has got no pang of sorrow. She seems to be going on through the world so gaily. But suddenly, says the voice from heaven, this world that is like this is stripped and bereft of all that she possesses. In a day, says the voice from heaven, her plagues come. Death, mourning, famine, and then the fire of God consumes her. You know, we're living in strange times. Times when death is always there before us, and there is never a week passes but death is flashed upon us. Death. Death in all its ugliness. And mourning. And famine. And all the pestilences and the evils that come upon men. We just await the time when God will utterly consume the whole thing in fire. It's an awesome picture of the appalling destruction that comes to a world that has allowed itself to be seduced by the devil. Isn't it the psalmist who speaks of the wrath of God being kindled a little? And when he says, when God's wrath is kindled a little, then how terrifying it is. And you know it's terrifying when you think of God's wrath. I only recall for you two instances where the wrath of God was seen in all its terrifying dimensions. The first instance I give you is the instance of the days of Noah. There was that generation, as Jesus tells us, it was eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. It had no thought, no concern at all for God. God had been dismissed from that generation's thoughts. The generation of Noah was intoxicated by the harlot world of that time. And then suddenly God could stand it no longer, as it were. And he commanded Noah to build the ark for the saving of himself and his household. And that momentous day of judgment came when the waters began to burst. The fountains of the deep, it tells us, burst open, and the rain descended. And the baptism of God came upon that generation. Sin had to be obliterated. And it was obliterated in the floods of God. Take another example. Here are the cities of the plain. They are given to us, the names of them. One is called Sodom, and the other is called Gomorrah. They have been terribly seduced by the harlot. These cities are living in wantonness. These cities are obsessed by sexual immorality. These cities are living in filth, moral filth. And here is Lot and his wife and family, and they are involved in it. And the voice of God comes to Lot. Come out of her, my people. The time for the judgment of Sodom has come. The time for Sodom to be destroyed has come. Come out of her, my people. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Look to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And Lot, with his wife and family, have to quit that city, no matter how infatuated Lot's wife is with it. And she doesn't want to leave it. And in that fatal moment for her, she looks back and is engulfed in the judgment of God. My friend, don't look back to this perishing world. Come out of her, my people. Be not a partaker of her plagues, because she is going to be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. And so Sodom, and oh, that terrible perverted sin of sodomy, which is with us to this day, we know what it's all about. That sin which is an abomination to God. It reached heaven, and God sent the fire. Well, the world that you and I are living in, which has been seduced by Satan, is destined to pass away. And from that world that is going to perish, which is represented to us as the harlot, Babylon, God commands us. And God says to us, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. And the only thing I would say to you as I conclude the service tonight is, my dear friend, don't be found joined to this perishing world that's going to pass away as Babylon the harlot. But flee to Christ. There he is, the Savior of the world, with arms outstretched, ready to receive you and to receive me. And in his loving embrace, we are safe and we are secure. Oh, come to Christ. Don't be outside of him. Let us pray. Our gracious God, we pray thee that as we consider these matters that are so relevant to us and so relevant to our own day and age, and as we consider this world which is so like the harlot and which seduces us and draws us away from thee, which causes us to commit spiritual fornication, which inevitably will destroy us. O Lord, help us, we pray thee, to come out and to be joined to Christ, who is the heavenly bridegroom and the true lover. May thy blessing rest upon each and all of us to that end, and forgive our sins. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen.